Buckeye show. So
yep.
That's all we talk about.
We've talked about you before.
Oh, I'm honored.
Buckeyes, go for it.
If I can, I'll. I know this isn't maybe the usual place to start, but this story that we had for Ohio State was so cool. How we had a young man in Neil Shipley, who finished second in the USAM, as you know, and that got him into the Masters and the US Open. And I know he talked to you and got some advice, and he went out and had his time and was the low am, and was such a neat thing for him. You had to love that for Neil.
Well, I think so. It came down to talk to me, and Coach Mosley brought him down, and the whole golf team came actually, and we sat down in my kitchen and at our breakfast room table, and we talked about the golf course and how to play it and what to do. And his coach told me, so they went back, and he says, everything Mr. Nichols told me is exactly right. I said, well, that's nice to hear that I wasn't just babbling off into the wind. But, Neil's got a nice future in front of him, and unfortunately only has the 1 year here at Iowa State. But, you know, that's okay. And we'll follow him in the future and see how he does. I hope he does well. We obviously wish him well.
How many memories come rushing back when you had a young Ohio State golfer with you there, and you've done so much in your legendary career, but thinking back to, you know, where it began in the 60s here in Columbus playing at Ohio State?
Well, you know, I went to the Masters, the same thing. I was a 19-year-old kid going to the Masters, and there I was a sophomore at Ohio State at the time. And so, you know, I look back at what I had and what Neil had and what the combination, and it's, you know, it's kind of fun. I enjoyed my college golf. I enjoyed my college golf at Ohio State. I loved my golf coach, Bob Kepler. He was a great guy. And, it was a fun experience, and I'm sure that these guys, the kids that are playing here, having a great experience too.
Can you segue to repeating the story you told us in the luncheon about your recent visit to Augusta National and how proud you were to shoot 269?
I didn't say I was proud of it.
That's pretty good for four rounds.
Yeah, I know. The only trouble is I only played three.
Unfortunately.
What?
Huh?
What?
I only played three.
Oh, okay.
That's what
true.
I said.
You didn't say you're proud of it. But you
I said I shot 88, 90, 91. That's 269. For three rounds, that's a pretty good four-round score. No, I mean, that's what I play anymore. They don't have any forward tees at Augusta. I can't play 6,400 yards. I don't hit it far enough. I don't hit it. You heard me at the luncheon. I kind of don't hit the ball 190 yards anymore if I kill it. Mm-hmm. Actually, if I play a little bit more, I'll hit it further because my muscles will come back.
Sure.
But, I played once last year, once a year before, and I played four times this year already.
Jack,
that's pretty good.
On that topic, I talked to Julie about this, Dale Earnhardt. When do you know your game is not what you want it to be? And like,
when you can't compete?
Okay. I mean
pretty simple. You know, I mean, I knew that I was getting where I couldn't compete. I played down at it was really brought to me very abruptly at 1960 at Valhalla, played the first two rounds with Tiger.
What year?
60. Yeah.
2000.
I'm 60. What did I say, 60?
Yeah.
I meant 2000.
Okay, 2000.
I was 60 years old.
I was fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I got done with those two rounds. I said, man, you need to pass the baton. I said, there's no, you know, you can't compete in this anymore. And I realized that. I mean, I realized it before that, but I mean, that was really, you know, boom, right in the face. Mm. 36 holes of play with him and playing, seeing how well he played and how you know, how he just dominated what was going on. It was just, you know, I did that earlier, but I didn't do it. I don't do it now.
How hard was that? I mean, none of us.
Oh, I don't,
you're
I don't,
not at your level.
I don't have
you
a,
were at
I don't
the
have
top.
A problem. I don't have a problem with, you know, life passes on and you get old and you can't do the things you used to do. And I just think golf is just an amazing sport that we have the ability to be able to play as long as we do, compete as long as we do, and find lightning in a bottle occasionally, like I did in '86. And it's a wonderful game. It's, and as I say, they talk about it many times, it's a game of a lifetime. not many other sports can say that.
You were the mentally strongest, one of the best concentrators ever. As you age, is that what started to go, or was it hand-eye coordination?
I just think physically. I think you get a little bit losing your interest, and I don't mean that you really lose your interest. You just lose your focus on what you're doing. I mean, my kids were all playing sports, and I was more interested in that than I was what I was doing, and it's a natural transition for a father, and I think it's perfectly. I didn't have a problem with it. You know, I knew there was going to be a certain point I couldn't compete. When I did that, in 2005, when I basically decided, I said, "Well, okay, I'm going to finish it up this year." I played the Masters that year, and I played the British Open that year. Missed the cut in both of them, and you know, I could have made the cut, and I didn't play well at the Masters, but I could have made the cut at the British Open, and I just couldn't make any putts in the second round. But you know, it's okay. I still played all right.
In that way, it's tough to watch Tiger a little bit. I mean, he's got the physical ailments, but it's happening.
Well, Tiger has the ability to still play, but he's not. He doesn't play obviously quite as well as he did. But I think a lot of his is the physical ailments. I think there's a question about that. But I've watched him hit balls a little bit and watched him play a little bit lately. He hits the ball pretty well. It's just trying to keep his body together while he plays is tough, particularly having to walk.
Valhalla is hosting another PGA in a couple of weeks. Have you been there
recently?
I don't
know if he's in it or not.
I don't know if he... I think he's going to try. He said he was going to do a scouting trip.
Well,
have you done anything to that golf course?
Have I?
Yeah.
I really haven't. I know they've done some stuff to it. Yeah, I haven't done a thing.
Okay.
We added a few tees.
Sure.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I think any golf course adds a few tees as they go on. Just because of golf ball.
Will he be competitive there, you think?
Pardon me?
It's sort of flat.
Would he be competitive?
Could he be?
Yeah, except that I don't know whether he can walk that far. That walk up 72 holes. Sure, he could be competitive.
Yeah.
He'll be competitive, you know, at least two rounds, because that's what he did at Augusta. Yeah. And whether he's competitive in the third, then if he is competitive in the third, then he certainly will be competitive in the fourth. You know, it's sort of a progression in how you work.
Yeah. Speaking of course changes, 16 here. Let's talk about the evolution of that hole and what prompted it.
Well,
when did that happen?
What prompted it is the guys kept talking to me about it. I talked to several of the players. I can't remember sitting down with Jordan Spieth about it. I can't remember who the other guys. Maybe it was JT. I'm not sure. But anyway, we sat down and I said, "Guys, you're only playing an 8 or 9 iron." And then I looked at the stats, and 36% of the guys hit the green on Saturday, and 28% hit the green on Sunday. And I said, "No, it's not shame on you. It's shame on me." Mm-hmm. You know, I said, "If the course is not playable from that standpoint, that for an 8 or 9 iron to only hit the green third of the time, let's say on the average, last two rounds, that's not them. It's me." So when the wind came, they had a northeast wind, and northeast wind sweeps across the green, and the ball had to come in, and it was coming down across the green and off into that bunker. And so what I did was I changed their angle. I'm moving the tee 30 yards right. Mm. And so now they play more down the green, actually more downwind, really. And then I took that front right bunker out, which wasn't a huge problem, but I took it and put a little slope to come into the green. So what I've given them is I've given them the opportunity to play into the front third of the green without any problems. Now, they want to challenge the back pin placements, then they've still got a challenge to do that. Mm. So I haven't changed that. So I think that'll make the hole, you know, because it's pretty simple to pop a little 8 or 9 iron into the front part of that green.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have any problem doing that. But if they want to get to the pin, then they're going to have to challenge it. But there's nothing wrong with it. And, I mean, I had a lot of greens at golf courses. I said, you know, 11th at Augusta, I don't care where the pin was, just put it in the right side of the green. 12th at Augusta, just put it in the middle of the green. Don't worry about where the pin is. So you know, you've got the green. You've got certain greens are that way. That happens to be one of those greens.
Did I hear that maybe other changes? You may have lost the tree at 18.
I haven't seen that yet, but I understand we lost the black walnut on the corner. I don't think that'll make a big difference. I just like the tree. There was a little tiny tree. We built the golf course down. It was a big tree that I guess it got hollow on the inside and it was rotted out.
Anything else on the course in terms?
I think we changed the 17th tee a little bit accordingly to what was going on. I think we lengthened the tee. They had the option to play a little bit shorter or longer.
Jack, go ahead. Ryan.
No, yeah.
Jack, how often do you get to watch a Buckeye football game on Saturdays, and what do you think of this team coming up this year with an expanded playoff, and do they need to win it all?
I've watched every game that they've played in I don't know how many last years. I don't think I've missed a game on television. I haven't come up for 4 or 5 years, but I watch every game on television, and I enjoy watching them play. I have no idea what you have for a football team this year with NIL.
I mean, you ain't lying.
I have no idea what
they've
you
done. Okay.
They've done really well.
They kept all 5 quarterbacks.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought last year 40 quarterback was a pretty good quarterback.
Yeah.
Does that make
you? What do you have? 30 touchdowns and 5 interceptions.
He lost one game. He lost the wrong game.
I know that, but I understand that. But I mean, he's a pretty good quarterback.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But his demands, I guess, were changed that.
Does that make you lose a little bit of interest with the way that
I don't like
is?
NIL at all. I think it's horrible. I think it's horrible for college sports, and it makes them all professionals. I know my grandson Nick coached tight ends at Florida State this year, and is a consultant. And they sent him on a recruiting trip. He says recruiting trips are no more fun. He says you should talk to a kid about how what his school can do for you and why you'd want to come to Florida State and why you want to do this. He says, let's go talk to my dad. Let's find out how much money we can get. Yeah. He says, that's I don't like that.
That's what Nick Saban said, right?
That's why Saban's dropped out of it.
And that's why Chip Kelly came here, because he got tired of it too.
Well, but anyway, I'm still be a Buckeye fan no matter what happens, because other schools are doing exactly the same thing. Mm-hmm. And Ohio State's got a lot to offer. You got a great program. You got a great coach, I think, in Ryan Day, and I think you've got you have all the tools to have a great team. I think you will.
Jack, your NIL would have been high too back in the day, wouldn't it?
I'm sorry.
Your NIL would have been high back in the day too, wouldn't it?
Well, I suppose so, but you know, I personally, my belief in college sports is that the kids should get a stipend. Mm-hmm. Whether that's $12,000, $15,000, $20,000, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, today, without that, the kids can't go home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't take a date out someplace.
Right.
You know, it's always worried about who's going to buy you lunch. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of stuff. You're always worried about NCAA rules.
Right.
So, I mean, I think a kid ought to have a little bit of independence. And they could do that in college sports pretty easily. And, I mean, when you're paying $1-2 million for kids, you divide that up, you can come up with a lot of money that can help a lot of kids have a great college education and not make somebody wealthy in college. If they're successful, they go to the pros, that's when they become wealthy.
The problem is it's gotten into the courts now, Jack.
I'm sorry?
It's gotten into the courts now.
Well, the courts said your courts are going to be very liberal on it. I mean, the simple reason is, you know, you're going to give a kid, you're going to keep it, take away a kid's ability to make money. They're not going to let them do that. But that's a problem.
Let's talk about the tournament here. This is, you've got a complete, we're going from 120 down to 72, I think, a cut. What do you feel about that? I think it's going to compact the talent. You're going to have everybody.
A little bit, yeah. I think it gives us a little bit more freedom from a weather standpoint. However, I don't know what the cut is.
Low
50, 10.
Anyone within 10 shots.
Is that what it is? The new
The field could be anywhere from 70 to 74.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I mean, the field's not set at 72. It's going to be in the low 70s somewhere. But, I don't really care one way or the other about that part of it. I'd like to see a few more players play, but I understand. But I think that what the tour has done from that standpoint is really very good. When they reduce the field to like 70 players, they obviously give an off tournament an opportunity to have some really good players and develop their own stars, which will be the next stars of the PGA Tour. So that standpoint, I think it's really a very good program.
Opposite event.
Yeah, I think it's a good program. And I think it develops young guys and allows them to win earlier and compete earlier rather than having to be in a 144-man field or 120-man field and get stuffed, you know, away by the good players just beat the devil out of them. Yeah. So I understand that, and I like that. So the number of the field doesn't bother me too much, nor does the cut bother me one way or the other. I just think that it's a lot of money. And I mean, to me, you've got to have sponsors and fans, the people who pay for it. And to me, there's only a limit to what you can do. As reasonable, you're in a town of Columbus, Ohio, but take a town like Moline, Illinois. What is that? What's the name of the Kermit?
John Deere.
John Deere. I mean, how do they draw in that for that? You know, I mean, it's very difficult. And so, you know, and it'll boil itself out. Mm-hmm. I mean, it'll work itself out. And I think, no, you can't. It'll boil itself out. And you know, and it's just like the LIV thing. The LIV thing will boil itself out.
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff will actually work its way out. It'll actually, long as the game of golf becomes a winner and not being held hostage or penalized by it, that's what we worry about.
I got a couple more if we can.
You got plenty of time.
We're not going anywhere. I'm just curious, thinking about you and the way you concentrated. Now these guys are wearing these earpieces and talking while they're playing the round. would you have said no thanks? Or what do you...
They're trying
to grow the game.
I don't know. It's okay. If they want to do it, would I have done it? I don't know. I'm 40 years or 50 years removed from that, so I don't really know.
What would you have said? I mean,
I don't know. I really don't know.
I like this whole, I'd do it differently. I mean,
I don't know. I don't know what I would have. I don't know whether I would have worn the earpiece and talked or not.
It depends on how the tournament's going, right?
If it is part of what everybody does, mm-hmm. I would have probably done it.
Right.
But then when I was playing, it wasn't part of it.
Right.
So it would be, if you're asking you to do that, it's like out of the normal.
Right.
So I don't know. I just don't know. I can't answer. Really hard to answer the question.
Did you play? You played Scioto. I don't know if you played it.
I've not played the new course.
No. I'm saying I know you played Scioto. That's where you grew up. I've got league at Raymond at 440. Did you ever play Raymond? Did you ever play courses around?
I did.
Because that's
I don't remember.
I think that's a Robert Trent.
It's Robert Trent. I don't remember what hole is it on the front nine, fourth or fifth hole, about a 400. But it was about a 420-yard par four.
There's a short par five that goes along.
It was par four.
Okay. On the front?
Yeah. I suppose over 400 yards. Yeah. I remember driving that once.
Really?
Yeah.
With the trees on the right side?
That's a
front. I don't remember the hole.
Definitely on the front?
Yeah, it was around the fourth or fifth hole. Six, maybe. I don't know. It came from the west to the east, and I drove it one time. Mm. I played there a few times.
Yeah.
Jack, can you talk about Julie Easter?
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, she's had a great career. She's had an amazing, amazing career as a mother, and as a winner. And what she's done, she's a grinder, as she put it. And you know, a lot of times grinders get an awful lot out of the game. So there's Julie. Julie was not spectacular with anything, but she made everything work together to where she could win. I mean, seven major championships is pretty darn good for a woman.
He's gone. Tom Weisskopf. We lost him, but what about him? I mean,
Masters. Weisskopf was a wonderful player, and he struck the ball beautifully. He had a talent that not many people had of hitting the golf ball. One of the four or five best golf strikers of the ball I've ever seen. Mm. He was his own worst enemy most times. He tried to say I don't do very well. Tom. You know, we're not gonna celebrate with that part of it. We're gonna celebrate the good things that Tom did, which were good. Tom, you know, won the British Open. He won it in fine fashion, and he kept me from winning one of my Canadian Opens, beat me in a playoff, and I had a great respect for Tom. I think that Tom felt he was in my shadow a little bit, and I felt bad for him for that reason. But you know. That wasn't a reason to let a guy beat you.
Kurt Walker said something. It's